Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of Vedanta, which reveals that you are pure being having a human experience. I'm your guide by the side, Swamini B. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the River of Wisdom.
I really want that job. Desire. I am determined to wake up at 5 a.m. every day. Resolve. Does she love me or not? Doubt. All will be well. Trust. I don't know if Vedanta is true. Want of trust. I will sail through this. Fortitude. I'm not sure if I can handle this. Not enough fortitude. I'm ashamed of what happened that night. Shame. I can analyze and synthesize. Intelligence. I'm scared of getting the virus. Fear. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Kamaha sankalpaha vichikitsa shraddha ashraddha dhriti adhritihi rihi dhihi bhihi iti etat sarvam manaha eva. Translation, desire, resolve, doubt, trust, want of trust, fortitude, not enough fortitude, shame, intelligence, fear, all these are but the mind. The mind? But that's me, right? No, I think, therefore I am. We are in the knowledge economy, right? Yes. But you are more than the mind. The mind is referred to as the antakarana in the Vedic tradition. Antaha meaning inner and karana meaning instrument. For more on this, I encourage you to listen to podcasts 97, The Mind in the Vedic Tradition, and episode 55, Control and the Chariot. Though the mind is one, it functions in a fourfold way. Manas, which stands for desire and doubt, buddhihi, which stands for certainty and decision, chittaha, which is memory, and ahankara, which is the I notion. All these mind modifications are known by us without the need for a sensory organ. Do you need X-ray vision to see that you desire the pizza at 1 p.m. tonight? Do you require your physical eyes to see that you still feel shame from that incident in school? To perceive the world outside, we require our eyes, nose, ears, mouth, and skin. To perceive what goes on in the mind, we are able to see without the need for any sense organ, the quality of the mind being more subtle. I see an object like a donkey on the road. The donkey is an object of my awareness. I see the donkey in my mind. The donkey thought is also an object of my awareness. Now the question is, if sadness, excitement, helplessness, enthusiasm, etc. belong to the mind, are these my qualities or the qualities of the mind? If these emotions defined me, then these emotions will always be there. But I find, as I watch a movie, my emotions range from excitement and frustration to longing and disappointment to relief, all in a matter of 2 hours. The same thing repeats as I watch the different episodes in the movie of my life. What is subject to coming and going, agama apai, cannot define me, pure being. Something seems to illumine my mental landscape, and the Vedas reveal that is I, the Atma. Perhaps there is another Atma that illumines this Atma. No. Atma is svata siddhaha, self-established, and needs no proof from anything or anybody. You don't have to ask your partner, do I really exist? It is self-illumining, swataha prakashaha, and hence, everything else, including my body and mind, are known. These become objects of knowledge. Fire can burn an object that is outside, but it cannot burn itself. I, that is awareness, unconditioned by the mind, can illumine what is other than it. It cannot illumine itself because there is no two. The mind is conscious because it reflects the unconditioned awareness that I am. Much like the ball of fire, the red ball of fire is actually a red hot iron ball, which is cold to touch but becomes hot, red hot, because fire pervades all the parts of the ball. By itself, there can be no ball of fire, but in contact with the iron ball, fire fills up the form. Similarly, the mind is pervaded by consciousness just like the iron ball is pervaded by fire. Consciousness illumines the mind because it is other than it. The nature of the mind is to have a flow of thoughts. Much like watching the waters of the river flow by, in just the act of watching without judging or identifying, you can say, ah, that memory, oh, I spot a sad thought. I see feelings of fatigue. I watch. They are not me. I am untouched by what happens in my mind. The known cannot disturb me. Even though the body-mind are subject to change, I recognize myself to be the same being that went through the stages of childhood, youth, middle age, and so on. Atma was uniformly present through all the body changes and remained unaffected. When I wake up from my sleep, I am absolutely certain that I am the same being who went through the state of the previous waking day, dream, and deep sleep. Generally, I doubt everything and everyone, but this I am super certain about. I am in and through all the three states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep. This recognition of I is not made possible by the mind, body, or senses, which are variable, but by the unchanging Atma. If there was no permanent self, then who would be there to reap the consequences of actions, good and bad? When I say I know myself, it sounds like the knower is the self and the known is also the self. Maybe one part of me is watching the other part. Is this possible? No. Why? The mind is present in the waking and dream experience. It is absent in deep sleep. Meaning it's resolved. I know myself is only said in the two states where the Atma is qualified by the mind. So when someone says, I know myself, what is known is not the Atma, but the conditioned self, the mind, in those states. And we've already seen that the mind is an object of awareness. I am other than the mind. The Atma is not an object of knowledge. If we say, I know myself, what knows it? Is it known by the whole self or by a part of it? If the Atma knows itself, it means that the Atma divides itself into the knower and the known, which is not only absurd but also impossible. If we assume for the sake of argument that the self is divisible, such that we speak of a part of the Atma, then the Atma and its part must have identical nature. If the self is pure awareness, its part cannot be pure awareness and have a form. The Veda reveals that the self, the Atma, is one and homogeneous and has no divisions. Hence, there cannot be any qualitative difference between the whole and its parts. Okay, if you say that the Atma is both the knower and the known, then are both known simultaneously, Yugapat, or successively, Kramena? Neither. Since the self is the knower, objects become known to it. Since it is the knower, it cannot become the known. Drigeva natu drishyate. It cannot play mutually opposed roles of the knower and the known at the same time. Nor is it that the knower and the known change roles because they are tired. A thought enters your mind. It is not a conscious being. It does not say, "Hello, I'm here." Another thought enters your mind. The previous thought is not a conscious entity to say, "Oh, it's time for me to go. I'm going. Bye." Our thoughts are not conscious beings who can look back at us. If that was so, it would be a bit creepy. What is the known cannot disturb us. Really speaking, consciousness as though lends reality to all my thoughts. The status of the knower is because I am the Atma, pure awareness, because of which everything is known. The status of the knower is with respect to the known. With respect to itself, what is the status of the knower? It is ever-illumining consciousness. Much like the sun, whose nature it is to illumine all that lies in its path, be it beautiful valleys or decaying sewage, its nature is to shine. All the way, I, the Atma, illumine the changing forms, which include the different forms of the mind, because I am the light of all lights. Happy Deepavali to all those who are celebrating it. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thanks for listening.
Om Swami Nibhi. My name is Monali. I heard you this morning listening to your talk for the Be Woman Navratri Festival, and I was really moved. And then I came onto your website and I'm listening to these talks, and it just sinks in so beautifully, whatever you're saying. My family is from Mumbai. I grew up in the U.S., in California, and currently I'm living in Bali. I've been studying Vedanta for the past few years as well. And whenever I come, I feel really moved now having come across you, and I'm looking forward to reading and listening to your work more and hopefully meeting you soon when I come to Bombay later. Om, thank you so much.
Thank you to Monali and all of you who have reached out, asked questions, and shared kind words about this podcast. With this episode, we complete season one. We have an archive of 117 episodes that you can listen to anytime and dip into the wisdom of the Vedic tradition. I'm going to work on a project that requires my complete focus, and hence this podcast, Vedanta, the River of Wisdom, will return after a few months. Thank you all for your love and support. In the meanwhile, I have quite a few short-term courses which you can check out on the website, discoveratma.com. These range from 2 to 8 hours and cover a range of topics: dharma, bhava, the dance of emotion, vajra, anti-fragility, Vedantic meditation, and so on. And of course, there are a lot of videos on our YouTube channel by the same name, Discover Atma. If you want to write to me, the ID is Swaminiji, Swaminiji, at discoveratma.com. Stay safe, be well, lots of love and prayers. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.